ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता चैप्टर 2 एंटाइटल्ड कंटेंट्स ऑफ गीता समराइज्ड टेक्स्ट 59। विषया विनिवर्तन्ते निराहारस्य देहिना रसवर्जम रसोप्यस्य परं दृष्ट्वा निवर्तते। विषया ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ट्रांसलेशन। द एम्बॉडीड सोल मे बी रिस्ट्रिक्टेड फ्रॉम सेंस एंजॉयमेंट दो द टेस्ट फॉर सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट्स रिमेन्स बट seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. We'll also take the next two verses because it's a related topic. Yatato hi api kaunteya purushasya vipaschita indriyani pramatini haranti pravasam manaha tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matparaha vasehi yasya indriyani tasya prajna pratishtita. Translations. The senses are so strong and impetuous, O Arjuna, that they forcibly carry away the mind, even of a man of discrimination, who is endeavoring to control them. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, and fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as a man of steady intelligence. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna. विषया विनिवर्तन्ते निराहारस्य देहिना रसो वर्जम रसोप्यस्य परं दृष्ट्वा निवर्तते। सो वेलकम टू ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर टुडेज डिस्कशन ऑन भगवद गीता। द थ्री वर्सेस दैट वी आर डिस्कसिंग एक्चुअली आर अबाउट द कंसेप्ट दैट हाउ you know, when, you know, the senses, you know, we have got five senses, you know, sense of taste, sense of sight, sense of hearing, sense of taste, sense of touch. So, the theme of these three verses is that the senses basically are not within our control. Let's accept that as a fact, that these senses are practically uncontrollable. That's what Krishna is saying. And they can destroy a person even of discrimination. You know, in the 60th verse, Krishna is saying the senses are so strong and impetuous, O Arjuna, that they forcibly carry away the mind even of a man of discrimination, who is endeavoring to control them. Not even that, you know, he's just letting his senses run loose. He is a man of discrimination. He is endeavoring to control them, but still the senses can just drag him away. What is a man of discrimination? You know, man of discrimination is one who knows what is right and what is wrong. He can discriminate that this is right, this is wrong. I should do this, I shouldn't do this. But he's saying that a person who knows this is wrong, don't do it. Mind is telling, don't, you know, the conscience is telling, don't do it, but still, you know, the senses are so strong that they drag him towards the wrong thing. So, he's saying, Krishna is saying that senses are so uncontrollable that even a man of discrimination cannot control them. So, what is the solution he is giving? Two things. He says two things. He says, only when one has a higher taste, you know, can someone seize or stop such engagements of the senses. And secondly, he says, when one is fixed in Krishna consciousness, when one is fixed his consciousness in Krishna, then it is possible for one to give up this kind of sense gratification. So this is the theme of these three verses. So with the permission of all the devotees, I'll try to just speak a few words. It's very embarrassing for me to sit here because amongst all such wonderful devotees. So first point that we need to understand, you know, is that it is impossible to cease sense enjoyment. You know, whatever sense enjoyment we have been doing for so many years since our birth, and maybe from, you know, so many millions of lifetimes, we have been enjoying our senses in so many different ways. First fundamental point, it is impossible. Impossible, you know, they say impossible is a word in the Fool's Dictionary, but in this one case you can apply that word impossible. Impossible to stop sense enjoyment unless we are transcendentally situated. You know, Prabhupada uses very beautiful words in this purport, that unless we are transcendentally situated, which means that we are, you know, engaging in some sort of spiritual activity, unless we are doing something like this, it is very difficult. You know, I have very practical realization of this. You know, I remember before I became a devotee, not so long back, you know, I had this problem of drinking a lot of, you know, tea. You know, it's like my classmates in college, you know, they used to call me a teetotaler because I used to not drink alcohol. You know, those who don't drink alcohol are called teetotalers. But I was a teetotaler. I was like totally on tea. You know, I used to drink like 12 cups of tea a day and I was completely addicted to tea. This is before I became a devotee. So my mother was already a devotee, and one fine day, you know, she told me that this month is a very auspicious month. So I said, okay, what is this month? So she said, this is Purushottam Mas, you know, Adhik Mas, Purushottam Mas, very auspicious. So I said, okay. So she said, in this month, you should try and give up one thing which is very dear to you, any one thing for the pleasure of the Lord, you know, you should give up. So I just wanted to please my mother, you know, so I said, okay, what can I give up? What is it that I really like? I thought, then I said, okay, tea. Now, tea is something I'm really attached to. Let me try giving up tea, you know. So I tried, you know, I said, chalo, let's make a sincere attempt. You know, morning I didn't have tea. Then, you know, as soon as I got up, I didn't have. Then breakfast ke saath nahi liya. Then afterwards, you know, little more time, I went to the office. I went to the office, and in the office, you know, after, you know, 10 o'clock, they bring it in front of you, I didn't have. By 12 o'clock, I started, you know, fidgeting, you know, hands going here, there, shaking, scratching, you know, all kinds of symptoms started arriving, you know, the withdrawal symptoms started arriving. And by 2 o'clock, I had such a raging headache, you know, it was like my head had become weighing like 20 kilos, you know, it was so heavy. So I finally at 2 o'clock, I called up my mother and said, I'm sorry, but ye mere se hoga nahi, you know, I can't do this. I just couldn't give it up. It was just not possible. So, you know, when you are not, you know, in Krishna consciousness, tea seems like such an insignificant thing, right? Like, it's not like having alcohol, right? But tea is, I mean, in my case, it was tea. In other people's, it could be anything. It could be watching television. It could be anything, you know. Could be any insignificant thing also, but giving up these habits, you know, where our senses are being, you know, we're trying to enjoy our senses, is very difficult. Our senses control us rather than us controlling our senses. And the other thing that, you know, Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, he says that restriction, you know, see, he says that restriction, even if someone tries to restrict his senses, you know, somebody is making a sincere effort, boss, I must restrict my senses. You know, I am now trying to become a spiritual person and I must restrict my senses. So even if somebody is sincerely trying to restrict his senses, it is not so easy. Not, as they say, not everyone's cup of tea. Again, you know, it's not very easy for everyone to do it. Why? First of all, most people don't like to do it. I mean, let's put our hands on our hearts and say, how many of us would like to control our senses? Yeah, okay. Theoretically speaking, all of us would like to do it. But if someone says, right now, you control your sense, from now till next 2 days, you know, complete sense control, very difficult. You know, it's for the common man, it's very difficult. Secondly, difficult, it is not so effective. Because you may control for some time, But within few minutes, sometimes few seconds, sometimes, you know, for people who have little better control, few hours, few days. But then again, you know, the senses go out of control. It's very difficult to sustain it over a period of time. And most importantly, Prabhupada says that just by controlling the senses doesn't mean that the taste goes away. Right? Like in my case, you know, I controlled, yes, for full 12 hours I didn't have, you know, I was feeling very proud of myself. But the taste doesn't go away. You know, you may give it up for 12 hours or for one day, but then next day you're like desperate. Arey boss, abhi chahiye, just now. You know, you're like running here and there, you know. How can I get it? So the taste doesn't go away. You know, Prabhupada makes a very beautiful example. He says, the process of restriction from sense enjoyment by rules and regulations is something like restricting a diseased person from eating certain types of eatables. Okay. He says, the patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his taste for the eatables. Simple. Now, imagine somebody is put in a hospital because he has got jaundice. Okay, very severe, you know, hepatitis kind of jaundice he's got. And he is told that you shall not eat anything spicy for the next 21 days till you recover. You cannot touch anything spicy. Now, just imagine, you know, I mean, you know, everyone is so used to eating spicy food nowadays. If you are told 21 days, nothing spicy. It's not so easy. Not everyone can do it. But jabardasti, you know, as I said, because the doctor has said, he follows the restriction. Does he like it? No, he doesn't. He gives it up for 21 days. Does his taste for spicy food go away? No, it doesn't. The moment he steps out of the hospital, first thing he'll do is try and eat something spicy. First thing, first chance he gets. So the taste doesn't go away. You know, and despite all such austerities, sometimes, you know, it's very easy to fall down. You know, the example once Gaurang Prabhu had given a very beautiful example of Ajamil. You know, you heard the story of Ajamil from the Srimad Bhagavatam, who was a very austere Brahmana. Very, very austere, following all the Brahmanical rules, 100%, pakka. You know, he was following his guru and very nicely he was controlling his senses day in and day out, and for such a long period of time he was controlling his senses. But one incident, you know, he saw this woman, you know, embracing with some other man, and immediately he forgot everything. Whatever he had done for the last, whatever, 15, 20 years of his life, in one moment it was gone. Whereas, you know, Gaurang Prabhu was making the point that on one side, all these years of austerity didn't protect him when he needed the protection. It didn't protect him. Whereas, just 3-4 times he chanted the holy names of Krishna, just 3-4 times helplessly cried out at the time of death when, you know, the Yamdutas approached him. Just 3-4 times he called out, and that was enough to protect him and save his life. You know, it pulled him out of the nonsense that he was doing and brought him back onto the path of God consciousness. So just imagine, you know, that all this sense control is not so much of use to a person like this. You know, despite all the sense control, one moment, you know, sometimes, you know, one devotee had made a very heavy statement. You know, he was talking about, you know, we were discussing, you know, about the topic of trying to control our senses in Krishna consciousness. So he was making this point, it's a little heavy, but he said that don't be proud, you know, that you are controlling your senses. Don't feel proud, you know, that you are following four regulative principles. He said the only reason why you are able to follow the four regulative principles is because nobody is approaching you. You know, please come and enjoy like this. You know, nobody is coming and approaching you in silent, you know, in isolation. If somebody just came to you and approached you, come enjoy, you know, it's very difficult. That is a real test, you know, whether you're really able to control your senses or not. So the point that, you know, Krishna is making in this beautiful verse, you know, he says, though the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, the taste for sense objects remains. So it is still lurking there somewhere in the heart, you know. This, like I said, the desire to enjoy is still there, burning bright, as they say, you know. It's still burning bright in our hearts. In spite of the fact we are trying to, you know, box it and keep it, it is still burning in our hearts. He says, but seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste. By experiencing, he says, What is the verse? He says,
Parandrishtva.
You know, the Parandrishtva, the higher taste. By achieving the higher taste, he is able to give up the lower taste. Now, what is the higher taste? Let me just take one or two very simple examples, you know. If now, for example, you have been eating, you know, dal, simple dal with chapati, you know. Like in the jail, they give simple dal and chapati, that's it. You don't get to enjoy much. Now, one fine day, suppose somebody comes and gives them three sabjis with, you know, very nice pakwan dal, you know, and very nice sweets and salad and chaas. Amazing, you know, so they will just pura ji bhar ke khayega. I say, ho gaya, ho gaya. Aur chahiye, aur lo. They'll give more. And then next day, again they give. And third day, again they give. And then fourth day, what they give? Again, dal and chapati. Say, hatao yaar, humko nahi chahiye. I cannot eat. Why? Because now they have got used to eating very wonderful, sumptuous prasad. After eating for 3-4 days, is it possible for you to eat something which is, you know, not so nice? Jabardast, if you are forced to, you will eat, but not happily. You know, that is the nature of the mind. You know, it gets used to a higher and higher, you know, level of enjoyment. And once having tasted that higher level, you feel miserable when you are lower. You know, I'll give you another example. Again, this is a personal example. You know, I remember early days in Krishna consciousness when I had just started working. We used to come every day to the temple. Whenever we came to the temple, we used to come by bus, BST bus, right? So come by BST bus, as they say, dhakke khate ve, you know. We used to come by bus every day, you know, and wait for the bus for half an hour in the hot sun. Then the bus would come. Then, you know, you stand for 15-20 minutes. Then you get a seat to, you know, sit. And hopefully you get a place near the window. You know, it's like 45 minutes, 1 hour in the bus and you reach the temple. Then after some years, I bought a scooter. Right? Like little material prosperity came by Krishna's mercy. I bought a scooter and I started coming to the temple by scooter, right? So scooter was very convenient, right? So then even if I have to go to the shop, which is just like 50 meters down the road, what do? You walk, right? Wrong. You take the scooter. You get so used to going by scooter. What a convenience. Ah, so nice, you know. And then few more years went away and I bought a car. Now, Shishirada Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. So now, if you tell me that, Prabhu, you know, today you leave your car at home and you please come by scooter. Scooter still I might accept, but you tell me come by bus? Very difficult. It's the same person. Am I changed? No, I'm the same person. I'm still the same person going to the same location from the same location. But now, I have got used to the higher taste of driving by car in an air-conditioned, you know, all the windows closed, no disturbance, no pollution, no waiting for seat, no pushing each other, no struggling to hold the rod while removing the money to give the conductor, nothing. Comfortable, very nice. You get used to this. So even in a material sense, we get used to higher and higher levels of, you know, enjoyment. So in the spiritual sense, Krishna is making the sense that when we experience a higher taste, as in higher spiritual taste, the enjoyment that we get on the platform of the soul is ananda. It is real pleasure. You know, material sense pleasure is very temporary. You know, it will be there for a few moments and then it will be gone. And even for those few moments, you have to struggle so much, you know. So hard you have to work to get those few moments of pleasure in your life. And even when you are getting that pleasure in anxiety, you know, I'll just elaborate a little bit more. When you are driving your car, you know, you may enjoy for a few moments, but then there's anxiety. Someone comes and cuts your lane. Someone bangs your car. Policeman stops you. Anxiety is everywhere. There is very little enjoyment, you know. Few moments when you just sit in the car from the heat, that AC blast comes, such a relief, you know. And then after that, again you start feeling hot. So material enjoyment is always temporary in nature. It doesn't last. Whereas spiritual, you know, whatever spiritual engagement we have, Krishna is saying this higher taste that we have, it actually lasts forever. And it fixes us in Krishna consciousness. He says another point, he says that it isn't possible to simply give up something. You know, this is a very practical point. You know, that if you are performing certain activities, you know, you're doing some things. Now, let's suppose you are, every day, you know, like I was doing. Every day I was drinking tea and I was so much addicted to drinking that tea. If someone, like my mother told me, just give it up. It wasn't possible because it immediately created a vacuum, you know. When you give up something, it creates a vacuum. So unless you fill up something else in its place, it's very difficult for you to give up that thing. So the moment, you know, I remember that day, the last time that I had tea, you know, it was a major event in my life. You know, I said, chai chhod raha, you know, it was like a big emotional event. When I gave it up, you know, I had already started chanting, you know, a little bit. I had started chanting and one fine day, I said, this is my last exam. So my last exam I'll have last time and I just gave it up. But after I gave it up, it was so easy. It was not a big deal, you know. Initially you feel that big, you know, challenge. But if you are chanting, if you are following the process of Krishna consciousness, because your heart has already got filled with other more positive substances, it is not so difficult for you to give up these lower tastes. And the other more positive aspect is that once you taste, you know, Prabhupada is making this point elsewhere, that once you taste the beauty of Krishna, once you taste the beauty of Krishna, everything else becomes distasteful. It loses its taste. It becomes fika, you know, as they say, tasteless. There is no taste left. You know, it is described, you know, that in the Bhagavad Gita itself, Krishna describes that everything that is beautiful, everything that has any opulence, any wonderful thing in this world, is just an ansha, you know, it's just an ansha, a small particle of a particle of Krishna's splendor. So, the beauty of Krishna is such that if we receive one small drop of His mercy, one small drop, that is enough to completely flood us, you know, completely flood us. So, if we receive that drop of mercy of Krishna, where we are attracted to His lotus feet, you know, materially speaking, when we see the deities, when we see Shri Radha Gopinath, we feel attraction, naturally, because they are so beautiful, when we see, we feel some attraction. But we still don't have that complete attraction for Krishna, you know, because we are so materially conditioned, we have maintained so many other material attachments, it's difficult for us to be fully attached. But, if you receive that mercy of the Lord, if you, you know, get attracted to the beauty of the Lord, immediately all your nonsense goes away, you know. There are many examples of this, you know, like Jagai and Madhai, who are following all kinds of, you know, at the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were the most sinful people alive. Most sinful. They were performing every sin possible. Whatever you can think of, they were doing. You know, killing, murdering, looting, all kinds of nonsense, you know. And these people, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he just embraced Jagai, and immediately Jagai, all his bad qualities went away. One moment of the Lord's grace and all his bad qualities went away, and he immediately became a pure devotee. He became a pure devotee. And you know, same for Madhai. Madhai also then begged, you know, give me your mercy, and he also received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So just receiving the mercy of Krishna, immediately all their attraction for all the nonsense that they were doing, not only was it gone, plus they felt extremely bad. They got the remorse in their heart that, oh, I was performing such nonsense in the past. You know, my Supreme Lord, please forgive us. Please forgive us and tell us how we can, you know, wash away these sins. What can we do to, you know, repent for this? So such was the transformation just by the association of the Lord. There is also the example given of Yamunacharya, you know, Yamunacharya who was, it's mentioned in one of the purports over here that he was so completely engrossed, you know, in running his kingdom with his wife and his family and, you know, his kingdom and whatever, you know, he was so completely engrossed. But then when he was reminded of his past, and he once more, you know, engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness, after that he is making this statement, you know. Just see. He says, since my mind has been engaged in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and I have been enjoying an ever new transcendental humor, whenever I think of sex life with a woman, my face at once turns from it and I spit at the thought. What a transformation. Just imagine. I mean, can we imagine also something like this happening? We can't, because we are still not on that platform. But just imagine, these people, what kind of change happens in the heart when you really latch on to the lotus feet of Krishna, the kind of transformation that comes about in the heart. There's also example given of Dhanurdas. You know, Dhanurdas was extremely attracted to the beauty of his, you know, of this lady's eyes. And then the procession of Lord Ranganath was passing through, you know, in Srirangam. You know, the huge procession, thousands of people, elephants, you know, horns, bugles playing, and this man was completely oblivious, not aware of what's happening. He was just gazing into her eyes, you know, and you know, just by the mercy, you know, by the mercy of the Vaishnava, mercy of a great Vaishnava, he was immediately, you know, he was shown, the next day he was shown the darshan of Lord Ranganath. And because of that, Ramanujacharya's mercy, you know, with that mercy, immediately he was able to give up that attraction to the woman. Not just that, he became a devotee, he got married to her, and she also became, you know, she also became a devotee. So, just if we have the great fortune of being attracted to the beauty of Krishna, you know, if we have the fortune of being attracted to the wonderful service of the Supreme Lord, devotional service to Krishna, then all these you know, material attachments that we have become distasteful. Restrictions by themselves don't work. If we just try to restrict our senses, it's very difficult. You know, it's like, because, you know, Prabhupada mentions various examples in the purport, because senses are so strong. You know, even the persons who have got tremendous control, you know, he gives the example of, you know, Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra, that, you know, he had been performing sacrifice, you know, whatever, you know, meditation. He was performing this meditation for almost 60,000 years. Continuously, in one place, without moving. What kind of control that must require? Just imagine. He was completely fixed. But he just heard the ankle bells of Menka. Chum, chum, chum. Immediately the mind. What's that sound? Who could it be? You should take a look. It's important to take a look. Ek bar dekhlo. Looked. And that's it. That was the end of it. You know, immediately all his meditation was gone. All the efforts of so many years, just by the sound of that ankle bell. You know, the next two verses that are coming actually describe the whole process of fall down. You know, the next few verses, Dhyayato Vishayam Pumsam, that describes the whole process of how it works. But important to understand, the senses are so strong, it is not possible for you and me, at least for us, you know, people like Vishwamitra, if they can fall down, for ordinary people just to try to artificially meditate and control the senses, it's not possible. What's this one? Another thing is, the senses are like children. You know, the mind and the senses are like small children, you know. Small children, if you tell them to just sit in one place, it is next to impossible for them. Very difficult. You know, the moment you tell them sit in one place, they can't sit. You know, if you tell them that you don't say anything, they may sit in one place for hours together. But you tell them, abhi idhar baito, very difficult. You know, it is like trying to box them. And you put them in a box. Even if you put them, you know, in one corner, you tie them up and put them in one corner, constantly their mind is thinking of how to next do mischief. Abhi kaise gadbad karu? You know, they are thinking. And the moment they are released, next moment they go into some mischief. So our senses are also like that. Even if we artificially try to, you know, just control and bring into, you know, one corner of your mind, the first opportunity that it gets, bang, senses go wild again. So it's very difficult. And the other thing about trying to control the senses is that pride comes. You know, if you are able, for some time also, some period also, you are able to control your senses, immediately you become proud. And this whole concept, you know, it applies to devotees as well, because senses can carry the mind of a devotee as well, if you are not careful. You know, it's not as if, you know, Krishna has said over here that, you know, you can seize such engagements by experiencing higher taste. So if you're receiving the higher taste, doesn't mean that you can do any nonsense. You still need to be careful. So how do we fix, you know, how do we fix our consciousness in Krishna? You know, he says that just controlling your senses is not enough. You need to fix your consciousness in Krishna. So then in the next two verses, in the next to next verse, in 2.61 actually, Krishna gives the process. And Srila Prabhupada explains the whole process of how to control the senses. Of how to fix the consciousness in Krishna. He gives the example of Maharaj Ambarish. You know, Maharaj Ambarish, how he, you know, it's a very beautiful verse also. Just like read it. You know, it says, King Ambarish fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. He engaged his words in describing the abode of the Lord. His hands in cleansing the temple of the Lord. His ears in hearing the pastimes of the Lord. His eyes in seeing the form of the Lord and so on. So every one of his senses, he actively and consciously engaged in the service of Krishna. Simply by doing this, he was able to control, you know, his senses and fix his mind completely, fix his entire existence on Krishna. Whereas he makes the comparison with Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni was a person who had great control over his senses. But one small agitation and he lost it. He completely lost his temper. He tried to kill, you know, Ambarish Maharaj. And as a result of that, he had to, you know, suffer. He had to run away from the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord for one full year. So Prabhupada makes the comparison, you know, Durvasa Muni unnecessarily became angry out of pride. And therefore, could not check his senses. Whereas Maharaj Ambarish was not at all affected. And in fact, even though Durvas did this, tried to kill him, he was not at all affected. He was, you know, sthita pradnya. He was very, you know, very balanced and he didn't lose his temper. And even when Durvas Muni came back, you know, and begged forgiveness from him, he said, what forgiveness? You are sadhu, you know. I have to beg forgiveness for having offended you. Please, you know, please accept prasad. And he was waiting for him for 1 year to take prasad. So imagine what kind of sense control and what kind of consciousness this devotee has. Just by completely fixing his mind, his senses, everything in the service of Krishna, he had such fantastic control. So, the point is that if we are just following the process of Krishna consciousness very sincerely, you know, Prabhupada has designed the process of Krishna consciousness in such a manner that we can engage all, you know, all our faculties, all our facilities very nicely in Krishna consciousness. If we are simply happy, if we are simply happy in the process of Krishna consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada says, you know, simply chant Hare Krishna and be happy. If you are just happy following the process of Krishna consciousness, then the problem of your senses disturbing you doesn't arise. It doesn't arise. If you are just happy, you know, satisfied in whatever you are doing, you know, whatever service has been given to you, whatever chanting you are doing, whatever reading you are getting to do, if you are sincerely just following it and you are happy and satisfied with it, then there is no problem. It's very easy to overcome the demands of the senses. So, in terms of what we can do, practically speaking, you know, as devotees, as sadhakas, who are trying to somehow, you know, it's easier, like, you know, sitting here, it's very easy for me to say, but it's not so easy to attain this higher taste, you know, to attain this higher taste by which we are able to control our senses and, you know, restrain them from engaging in a lower taste. Attaining this higher taste is not so easy. So what is it that we can do? So I'll just say something what I had heard from His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu. He had said something very nice. He said that three A's, you know, there are three A's which we can engage to, you know, control, you know, our mind and senses and engage fully in Krishna consciousness. He said, first of all, we need to engage our body, you know. So what does the body need? The body needs activity. The body needs activity. So we should be engaging our body in all kinds of Krishna conscious activity. You know, the In the Bhagavad Gita, it is described, Yat karoshi, yad asnasi, yad johosi, dadasi, yad tapasyasi, kaunteyat, tad kurushvam, mad arpanam. So Krishna is saying, do whatever activities you are doing. Whatever you are doing, do it for me. There are so many activities that we can do to keep our body engaged in Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, dancing in kirtan. Like making garlands. Matajis are making garlands. Like worshipping the deities. Like reading. Like hearing lectures. There are so many things we can do to engage our physical senses, you know, in the process of Krishna consciousness. In terms of... And working itself, in fact, whatever occupation you are doing, if you are engaging, you know, in some activity, but you are doing it for the pleasure of Krishna, ultimately, your goal is to, you know, is to whatever you are earning, from that you are trying to, you know, maintain a nice Krishna conscious atmosphere in your home. You are trying to give to Krishna whatever best you can. So even that is engaging our body in the service of Krishna. Then in terms of the mind, you know, he spoke about the mind. What does the mind need? The mind needs absorption. A for absorption. So he said, focus your mind on activities where Krishna is the center, you know. So for example, chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You know, it is described, manas trayate iti mantra. You know, the mana, the mind itself is like an ocean. The mind is a very nasty, actually very nasty, you know, thing. You see, you know, with such great difficulty, you know, you're able to control, you know, little bit for a few seconds, and immediately mind goes away to some other place, you know. Like the story is told about a person who was told, please don't, you know, one person came to a guru, I'm slightly adapting the story, but just, you know, person came to a guru and said, you know, I would like to, you know, take initiation from you. So, Guru knew that he is not qualified. So he said, come back after some time. But I want to see how well you can control your mind. He said, I can easily control my mind. So he said, okay, for the next 1 month, don't think of a pink chimpanzee. He said, just this one thing, don't think of a pink chimpanzee. He said, come on, there's no such thing as a pink chimpanzee, right? How can I think of a pink chimpanzee? So after a few weeks, not even 1 month, after a few weeks he came back, you know, and he just did dandavat to the guru, and he said, you know, please forgive me, I thought I was qualified, I'm thoroughly unqualified. He said, why? He said, for the past few weeks I've been thinking of nothing but pink chimpanzees. Day in and day out I'm unable to meditate on anything but pink chimpanzees, day in and day out. So the mind is very nasty, it's very nasty. And it's like an ocean, you know, it's like, it's full of so many thoughts, so many desires, you know. The mind is constantly filled with so many thoughts, feelings and, you know, desires. All the time. So it's like an ocean. So for you to, you know, reach Krishna, you have to cross over this ocean. So what is it that helps you? Manas trayate. What helps you to cross over? Mantra. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra helps us to actually cross over this oceanic, you know, very horrible mind, you know, and helps us to bring it under control. You know, so by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are able to, you know, slowly, slowly, as we, you know, as we chant more and more, slowly, slowly the anarthas within our heart get washed away. You know, the process is described. Adho Shraddha, Tatha Sadhu Sangha, Tatha Bhajana Kriya, Tatha anartha nivritti syat nishtha. You know, so the first thing is little faith. With some faith, you know, okay, so many people are saying, so many people are following, chalo, let me also try. You know, with some faith, we start following the process of Krishna consciousness by chanting. So the second thing starts, you know, which is that? Adho shraddha tatha sadhu sangha. You come in the association of sadhus and you start hearing from them. And then you do what? Bhajan Kriya. You start chanting. And we chant and we follow the process of Krishna consciousness for several years. And then one fine day, after many, you know, many years and probably some cases, in most of us cases, maybe after some lifetimes, we reach the stage of anartha nivritti, where all our anarthas are washed away. But chanting also can keep on improving, you know. You know, it's like, to give you an example, even in chanting there is higher taste. You know, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, sometimes, you know, when we are new in Krishna consciousness, we chant with great enthusiasm.
you know, tremendously. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, full enthusiasm, full attention, you know. And then Krishna sprinkles His mercy on us, you know. When He sees that you are sincerely making that attempt to chant Hare Krishna, you know, for the first time, very nicely, one drop He just sprinkles on us. Woof, it just overflows from our heart. You know, just that one split second, you get that feeling of sheer ecstasy just by chanting Hare Krishna. Nothing special. You didn't do anything great. You just chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and you felt ecstasy in your heart. Now, after that, you have received that higher taste, then the inattentive chanting that we do doesn't appeal anymore. Because you have got Param Drishtva. You have got the higher taste of chanting also. So we should be constantly chanting, trying to improve our chanting to get that higher taste. Even in chanting, there is a, you know, there is a lower taste and there is a higher taste. Lower taste is when we are chanting, but not attentively. But higher taste is when we receive the mercy of the Lord. And finally, the intelligence, you know, how to control the intelligence. He said the focus, the body is, the A for body is activity. For mind is absorption in the holy name. And for the intelligence, he said the focus is on alertness. The function of the intelligence is to be alert. You know, the mind will always be taking you from one place to the other. Just now when we are sitting here, our mind is telling us, you know, okay, bol raha hai kuch, yaar, think of something else. Chodo ye sab, you know. This is all impractical stuff, not meant for me. Mind is telling you, don't listen. Right? But the intelligence is alert. If your intelligence alert is telling you, no, no, maybe there's some sense in what he's saying, let's listen. So the function of the intelligence is to be alert. And alert in what way? Always alert, is this activity going to take me closer to Krishna? Will it take me closer to Krishna? And yes, if it does, then I will do it. No, I will not do it. So the process of Krishna consciousness, you know, is Anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. So whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness, we accept. Anukulyasya sankalpo. We make a sankalp. With determination, we say, I will follow it. And pratikulyasya varjanam. What is unfavorable, we try to give up. So by just simply following this process of Krishna consciousness very sincerely, you know, never give up, you know, never give up your sadhana, whatever sadhana you are doing. If you are chanting two rounds, very nice. Chant two rounds, chant it nicely. Try to increase it to four rounds. Try to increase it to eight rounds, 16 rounds. Whatever extra you can do. When you are chanting 16 rounds, try to chant more attentively. Constantly increase, you know, the quality and quantity of your sadhana. If you are doing this very sincerely, never give up, you know. You know, the I give this analogy sometimes of driving a car. How many people drive a car here? Some of you drive a car. So when you're driving a car, you know, when you're in first gear, then you go in second gear, you go in third gear, and in fourth gear, you know, you put your foot on the accelerator, you're traveling at a speed of 60, you know, on the highway. Smooth. No cars in, you know, there's no traffic jam. Car is just coasting along, you know, it's just smoothly coasting along. So what happens, you are lightly touching the accelerator and the car just keeps moving at a speed of 60. Beautiful, like butter, you know. And then what happens, you say, car ja raha hai na boss, let me give my foot a little rest. What do? You take your leg off the accelerator pedal. What happens? Does the car stop? No, car is in fourth gear. It continues moving, coasting along the highway. Only thing what happens? Slowly, slowly, the speed starts coming down. It comes from 60 to 50 to 40 to 30 to 20 and then one big noise comes and the car stops. Car completely stops. Why? Because it has reached such a low speed that fourth gear mein nahi chalega. Right? So car stops. Then after that, what do you have to do? Again, ignition, first gear, second gear, third gear and then fourth gear. It takes a long time. Right? To again come back to the fourth gear. In much the same way, when we are doing our sadhana, you know, when we are in the process of Krishna consciousness, we have been following for so many years, you know, after some time you start coasting without much effort, you know, you are just chanting Hare Krishna very nicely. Devotees also think you are a senior devotee now and life, you know, life is going on very nicely.
You are just coasting on the highway. And what happens? You lift your feet from the accelerator. What is the accelerator? The accelerator is the sadhana that we are doing. So the sadhana pedal becomes weak. You start reducing your sadhana, or you start reducing the quality of your sadhana. And slowly what happens? Nothing happens. Car is still moving. You know, you still are continuing in Krishna consciousness. You say, see, nothing happened to me. I am still chanting Hare Krishna. Devotees still say, Vancha Kalpataru Vesche when they see me, you know. See, everything is perfectly alright. And one fine day, bang, your car reaches speed of 20 and everything stops. And then you wonder, Hare, what happened? Suddenly, you know, now I have come to zero. You know, from I was on 60 and I have come suddenly to zero. Then you have to start again from scratch, you know. Again from Adho, Shraddha, Sadhu, Sangha, you have to again start the whole process. Very slowly, and it's a painful process. So better than that, we should always keep our foot on the accelerator of sadhana. Keep on accelerating your sadhana more and more. Do more and more. And with that, definitely Krishna, you know, gives us the param drishtva. He gives us a higher taste of Krishna consciousness by which we can get completely attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. And in this lifetime itself, it is possible to get out of the cycle of birth and death and go back to Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or comments? One or two. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Sir, I would like to know one thing, that how did Vishwamitra pass his test? After that, after falling down, two times he fell down. But for the third time, how did he pass? Did he devote his life to Lord Krishna first? Did he follow any principles of Bhakti Yoga?
To some extent, yes. I'm not very familiar with the story. Others can, you know, Prabhuji can, one of you can fill in. But the reason why Vishwamitra started doing penance was not because he wanted to attain Krishna. He wanted to become a Brahma Rishi. His whole purpose was to defeat Vasishtha. He was not doing it out of any sense of, you know, I must dedicate my life to the Lord's mission or anything like that. He was doing it out of ego and envy. You know, that this Brahma Rishi has got such powers. I want those powers. He was a king. He said, I want those powers. So two times he fell down. Was somebody else became little shaky. Indra became shaky. Arey, this person is not leaving only. Uska chhodi nahi raha. So, you know, maybe I should do something. He intervened twice. But then he still wasn't anointed as Brahma Rishi. What is the intermediate stage? Raja Rishi. Yeah, he was anointed as Raja Rishi. He was called Raja Rishi Vishwamitra. So as Raja Rishi Vishwamitra, you know, he was still very envious of Vasishtha. He was very envious. And he said, finally he thought that, you know, I must do something now. I must kill this Vasishtha because I can't do anything else. So he wanted to, but then when he saw that Vasishtha, despite the fact that he's so envious of Vasishtha, Vasishtha had nothing but love and respect for him. Nothing but love and respect. Though, you know, he knew that Vishwamitra is doing all this to defeat him, he still had only love and, you know, love and respect for him. So when he saw that, his heart was transformed. And at that moment, Vasishtha called him Brahma Rishi Vishwamitra. So when he took a humble position, that is when he attained the higher position. Because till that point he was proud, he was envious, he was not able to get what he wanted. And then once, you know, he realized, why am I chasing this? It's a waste of time. Then immediately the transformation happened. And I don't know if that answers your question sufficiently. Somebody would like to add?
Thank you.
Any other comments, Prabhuji, from the back? Hare Krishna. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.